going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show. That's a notable breakthrough performance. Jason, your favorite band ever is which band?
Favorite band ever? Oh, my gosh. I listen to weird music. Nobody's going to like this answer, but Guy Clark, I really like. I'm a huge Guy Clark fan, which I wouldn't really say is a band. It's just a guy.
Right.
But he's a literally a guy.
Yeah, singer-songwriter out of Nashville. There's a really cool documentary, Heartworn Highways, but I just really enjoy his songs. It's almost like poetry when you're listening to it, and I've always connected with that. I was not a huge Bruce fan growing up, but I saw him live here at Citizens Bank when I was early in my career, and it was one of the most like insane shows I've ever seen.
Have you listened to the Nebraska album?
My favorite.
Okay, yeah. Good.
I'm a huge Nebraska fan.
There you go.
Depends on what I'm doing. If I'm sitting around, enjoying a beer or whatever, I've got Nebraska on. If I'm trying to get pumped up.
Perfect. And, yes. Yeah.
Depends
I agree
on what you want.
You.
But Nebraska is
one of those albums.
I agree.
There's maybe 10 of them. You can just put it on and leave it on for certain purposes.
Yep.
Man, ideal.
Hits.
The Nebraska album. You know, that was just Bruce in a carriage house in Nebraska with the Gibson SJ200 and a harmonica just writing and telling stories.
Yeah, that,
him and a guitar, and it's all stripped down. There's none of the... I love the E Street Band and all that stuff, but it's just him, his voice, his stories, and a guitar, and it's my favorite album.
I'm a sucker for stories, man. Like old country, Bruce, all that stuff. I can just sit there and...
He jams so much in to one refrain. Like,
pretty
I don't know how he... It's remarkable, the story.
It's like depth, Howie Roseman preparing for a draft. He just gets it. He's ready on all of it. Jason, a couple years ago, you notably were involved in the evaluation process of Cam Jurgens.
Yeah.
So I saw your tweet this week, or it might have been the weekend. These days all run together. But I know you're really just psyched and proud and happy for Cam, for the Eagles. Because, you know, we were talking earlier this week. So when Doc left, which was after 08, nothing at safety till Malcolm in 2013. Nothing.
Yeah.
When Schmitty left the Phillies and after, you know, during 89, nothing at third base, really until Dave Hollins, you know, 92. Like, sometimes the transition from a legend to the next guy is really hard. And then this one, this is about as smooth as I can just about ever remember in Philly sports. And talk to us about your thoughts on Jurgens and what he's accomplished.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I think the Eagles knew that this time was coming for a long time with me. And I think it's a lot harder, you know, in Doc's case, he wanted to keep playing with Philadelphia.
Right.
Philadelphia moved on from him. And I think, you know, we knew the time was coming in Philly. I had talked openly about potentially retiring for a couple years before I did. So I think it enabled Philly to, like, say, hey, let's maybe get ahead of this a little bit. And they did the same thing with, you know, Fletch a little bit there with Jalen Carter, who's turned into an incredible player as well. But, you know, Cam Jurgens was a guy that coming out, Just had everything you would want in a center, quite frankly. He's got the right amount of size. He's not a big guy. I wouldn't say he's an undersized guy either. Maybe a little undersized if you look at the averages of weight. But he's got arm length. He's got a good wingspan. He's extremely, extremely athletic and explosive. And if you look at the best centers, the ones that are in the Hall of Fame, all the ones that make differences, not just guys that plug in there and play, I think most of those guys have an ability to block the second level and reach nose guards and make a difference in the run game to the point that they get that recognition. Not to say that there's not, I mean, Nick Mangold is one of the best centers of all time. That mm-hmm. was not his fort. Like, he's a big, powerful guy, but, you know, you go down the list of, like, all these Hall of Famers, Mike Webster, Stevenson, like, all of the best centers of the game that I think of are these guys that, like, really moved well and on top of being strong and explosive.
Yeah, you know, but how many centers before you were snapping it and then leading it to the edge, leading the play at the point of attack for a perimeter play?
It's hard for me to know because I didn't watch football. But, I mean, I think I've heard, like, Dermonti Dawson, I've heard, did that a lot when he was in Pittsburgh, right? I know Jeff Saturday did it because we did similar stuff with Howard Mudd. Like, it wasn't like he was pulling on a lot of those G plays, but they would do draw schemes and things where he'd pull around. And I think, you know, not a lot of teams do it because there's just, quite frankly, not a lot. It's a very hard position to find a guy who has the athleticism and also has the strength and stature to hold up at the point of attack. So to find a guy that can do that and be great in line is really hard to come by. Usually you get one or the other. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, Cam Jurgens, there were two guys that year, Linderbaum and Jurgens. Linderbaum has been a great player in the league as well. But Cam on tape, he just showed his athleticism so much. And on top of that, he was strong. We knew his offensive line coach in college, Greg Austin, is now back with the Eagles as an assistant to Stout. Mm. So it was just one of those things where, like, there was so many things that were like, this guy looks just everything you'd want. Hopefully we can get him if it pans out. And sure enough, we did.
Absolutely. Wow. Draft is tomorrow night, and then obviously Friday and Saturday as well. We'll have huge coverage, you know, all 3 days here on WIP, but also the lead up to it. Jason with us right now. Philly's not good, and Sanchez obviously with something with the forearm. That's not great. I'll tell you what is great, our show on YouTube. I mean, you can be the judge of whether it's a great show. I'm not saying it's great. That's up to others to decide. But I think it's pretty cool. The show is now on YouTube. You can check out the show during the show anytime because it's live on YouTube, but also you can go back later in the day. If you have to get out of your car soon and you miss, you know, portion of Jason being with us here today, go back later on and check out the show and the visual and the whole deal. It's always there for you. All right, let's go to the phones. By the way, Sports Radio 94 WIP on YouTube. You know, subscribe to that. You'll be good to go. Let's get to Joe in Mayfair right now. Joseph, good morning.
Good morning, morning crew. Good morning, Jason. Pleasure to have you on the show. Love listening to you, and thank you for what you did for Philly.
Thank you, Joe.
Let's get to what I called 2 weeks ago when you all bashed me. It's not the bone problem. This is a much deeper problem. And I told you, Joe, it starts with the manager getting these players prepared to play individual games where all these players are too comfortable.
They might be.
They are too comfortable. Yeah. And they don't believe they're good enough to win a World Series, so what's the point? And that's what a manager's job is to do, is to get them to believe they are good enough. And they're lackadaisical. And when you are lackadaisical and too comfortable, you've lost the locker room. I haven't seen one game yet where this team looks like they're energetic, having fun, all on the same page. It seems like a lifeless locker room. And when you have that, you're going to follow your leaders. I don't see the passion from Harper. I don't see it in Turner. I don't see Castellanos. They're like all going through the motions.
Yeah.
And when you have that, you are going to lose 2-3 miles an hour in your fastball because you're just out there pitching. You're not out there going, I got to dominate. And that's what I see. I think Nola can probably had put it back to 93-94 if he was in that frame of mind. But when you're mentally not prepared to play a game, any game, the results are going to show. And it's just going to get worse unless you get a different voice in that locker room to make this team as a team believe they are good enough to compete.
Look, Joe, I think my opinion is Rob Thompson is the least culpable of the whole group. But,
and
but I will say this. He is culpable. He's not without blame here. And I do think the messaging and the relaxed atmosphere is probably problematic.
Is he not? It feels like he's been a little bit less relaxed, though, in some of the press conferences I've heard. He's done some things. I think Joe's actually hitting a thing that I talked about earlier this year. I'm not a Phillies or baseball expert, but I do think, you know, when you're losing and you're not performing well, Stout would say this all the time, execution fuels emotion. You're not going to see a bunch of guys running around, dancing, having fun, getting their tails kicked, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just not going to happen.
Right.
But you need – who is the guy? They need somebody, and I personally think it needs to be a player. You can do this at the manager position as well, but there's got to be somebody that's bucking the trend and making people uncomfortable. And that's one of the beautiful things of playing in this city is that you can't be comfortable. Like, the fans and nature of the sports media is so engulfing that when you are struggling, you're going to know it. But it feels like I kind of agree with what Joe's saying. I want to see somebody with some freaking fire, like throw a bat. I don't know what it is, but something that is outrageous to the point that, like, it wakes guys
up. Let me ask you a question, Jason. Yeah. So, Joe, real quick, give me an answer because I want to get something with Jason on that topic.
Yeah,
a breakthrough performance.
I just want to make one more comment.
Yep.
I believe it's Bryce Harper's clubhouse and Bryce Harper's team, not Rob Thompson's team. And I think that's the major problem in this organization. Just what MB did to the Sixers, it's not near that point yet. But I believe this is Harper's team and Harper's jersey. This is not Rob Thompson's clubhouse. But I will give you
a breakthrough.
Yep. And I talked to James about it, but it's in Wikipedia, it's called the Caitlin Clark effect. And her breakthrough in women's sports and what she did at Iowa in her senior season, only 40-point triple-double in the history of college sports. But the Caitlin Clark effect has changed the women's landscape in sports 10 times.
That's a big answer.
Very big.
That's a different way of going about it, but I agree with that answer. All right, so Jason, speaking of answers, tell me if what you were just talking about, that sometimes you got to make people feel uncomfortable to jar betterness. Do you think, and it's funny because these guys were on opposites sort of.
Yeah.
Do you think A.J. Brown, with what he said back in, I guess it was November or December, and what Brandon Graham said.
I think what Brandon Graham did on this show might have been one of the things that kind of like galvanized that team. And I've said this a little bit inside the building. Like, regardless of what degree of it was kind of misinterpreted or missaid by Brandon, it forced those guys to communicate, talk, and come closer. And I think throughout my time, coaches and organizations really struggle with people that say things in the media. And I did as a young player that... It's like the wrong thing. It's an inconvenience for them to have to deal with this dumb thing that somebody said.
Yep.
Or controversial thing that somebody said. And the reality is, most of the time, there's some degree of that is going to come out, that is going to make people have to face what's being said, right? So you have to come to grips with it. And that can either lead to positivity or it can go the other way. And I think the Eagles handled it really well. They became closer and tighter, and it almost galvanized that team around both of those guys.
I had the impression Brandon did that purposefully.
He might have.
Here was my interpretation. This is what I sensed. I'm a 15-year veteran. This is probably it for me.
Yeah.
I'm on a great team that has a shot to win the Super Bowl. I don't want to see our chance derailed by nonsense. Let's frickin' lock it the hell in. That's the way I interpreted Brandon going public when he did.
I think that is potential. There also could be a level of not even being that thought out, and like that's just the feeling that he has, and it just kind of comes out naturally. Like, I think a lot of guys that are great leaders don't even all the time think about why they're doing things. They just like feels right. And, you know, I don't know, again, I'm not going to say whether nobody knows other than those two guys what degree of that was true, right? But it doesn't matter. It galvanized them around each other and made the team tighter. And I think to what the Phillies are going through, I know this isn't probably what everybody who watches the Phillies wants to hear. It could be the best thing that's happening to them right now, because the way they ended last season sucked, right? They didn't end it the way they should have at the start of the season. There's a ton of talent on this roster. If these guys get it together, they should have the talent to be really competitive and win. But
totally.
And if you look at the best teams since I've been in Philadelphia, almost all of us struggled at the start of the year. 2017, we were not great at the start of the year. Then we went on like a 9-game winning streak. The year that this past year, obviously, people were calling for Nick Sirianni to be fired first half of the season. Look at the Phillies, the two best years they've had. They had terrible first half starts.
That's right.
And came on at the end of it. This city, it's almost good to have adversity, because if you have a tight enough group and you have a good enough core, you become tighter and galvanized as a result of what's happening with all of the noise. It can also destroy you. So we'll find out which one of those happens with the Phillies. I tend to think these guys are, it feels like they've been tight before. They need somebody to like have some like gusto and just like,
yeah,
just to, I don't know. It's hard to explain. But there's always got to be one or two of those guys that are just a wild card that is going to just like pop off. It's going to piss everybody off for a day. And then everybody's going to be like, you know what? That was like a big truth bomb, or that was like camp. The amount of passion that he showed rubs off on other guys. That's the stuff that I want to see a little bit more out of the Phillies, just in general.
Boy, that resonates with me big time. Look, you can react to that. I love that. I really do. Coming up also in 1 minute here, we're going to get to more from Daniel Jeremiah, previewing tomorrow night the draft from an Eagles standpoint, and Mel Kiper's big board. All that up ahead in 1 minute. Hey, Joe DeCamera here. Let me tell you about PI Dental Center. With their decades of experience in complex dental treatment, of which I've now been a patient for 2 decades. Unfortunately for me, I've never needed the complex dental treatment. For me, it's been year-to-year maintenance. I've been in good shape and hopefully keep it in good shape, obviously with the great care of PI Dental Center. Most people in society, you know, you're pretty good with your teeth. Good. Stay in that zone and get year-to-year maintenance and get to PI Dental Center for that. But if you got a big old problem, and certainly there are a lot of people that have major pain, maybe just don't like the way you look, actually kind of a self-esteem issue, well, know that PI Dental Center, the originators of the teeth in a day, that's a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a dramatic transformation in a mere 1 day. They can fix you up because Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough are sensational with what they do. Both board-certified prosthodontists. They specialize in the restoration and the replacement of teeth. Get yourself to PI Dental Center. They're located in Fort Washington. Start with their website, PIDentalCenter.com. Visit PIDentalCenter.com to request your new patient evaluation. All right, draft coming up tomorrow, and then obviously Friday, and then obviously Saturday. Let's listen to Daniel Jeremiah talking about what's up ahead. Obviously, we know the Eagles pick 32. Howie said a week or so ago, he doesn't really think there are 32 first-rounders in this draft, at least from a talent standpoint, as he projects them from a typical first-round, you know, deal. Here's Daniel Jeremiah talking about that and more.
Is there a possibility that Howie might say, you know what, I can get a guy on day two and get more picks?
Yeah, just the problem's going to be, I think what you could do, if they traded back, I think it would be, okay, we're going to trade back, we're going to amass more picks, and then we're going to trade back up. Like, I could see them trying to maximize day two. So maybe you're sandwiching into round two. You're trading back to get some round two picks, and then you're trading back up from day three to get more day two picks. This would be a great draft to have, you know, 4 or 5 guys on day two. That would be perfect for where the value is.
So you think maybe they could get similar picks in the second round as they would at, like, 30, 31.
Yeah, 32. But it doesn't make it like what comes with those trades when you're talking about fives and sixes and sevens, those guys aren't going to make this team. So like in terms of the value you're getting, I would then want to use those excess picks I'm getting and then come back in and get more of those players. But like my 14th player, my 38th player, there's not much difference this year.
That's Daniel Jeremiah with John Clark. What a statement at the end, John. 14 and
38. 14th and 38.
Not much of a difference.
Wild, right?
That is. That is a wow.
It yeah. is fascinating, you know, when we've talked to folks, the guys, experts, just on our show
yep.
now over the last month, maybe, we have had a variety, kind of a bigger spread of names, just talking about D linemen.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, we, previous years, maybe there were 2 or 3 guys that we zeroed in on. Maybe some of that was we were closer to the beginning,
well,
so we had a better idea
for
who
sure.
it might be. But, man, we are all over the place.
Well, let
now.
Me give you some examples of that, John, because I agree with you. So just for instance, I got Mel Kiper's big board here. This is not how he expects them to be drafted in order. This is him saying here's what they are as far as quality, just ranked 1 through the end, quality. So after 32, he's got James Pierce Jr., who we talked a lot about from Tennessee, as 34th ranked. He's got Walter Nolan, who has been attached to the Eagles probably in the most mock drafts, as the 38th best player. He's got Maxwell Hairston at 40, the corner from Kentucky. If Howie says, like, let's load up on corner and get a third corner and lock that in for years to come with three guys now. He's got him at 40. He's got Mason Taylor, the tight end from LSU, at 41. So to what Jeremiah just said, I mean, it is certainly possible the Eagles move down, get who they may want, be available, pick up some extra picks. Now, here's the flip side I'll say. Maybe moving down this year, you get less than you would get in other years. I mean, if 30 to 40 is not as strong as it sometimes is, or let me put it this way. I don't know if the Eagles would get as much as you normally get if the whole league knows 20 to 40 is all about the same. Yeah. Does that make sense?
It does, and that's why it all depends on how it unfolds. You can think about it like these are where all these guys are slotted, and we know that that's going to be around that probably multiple teams are eyeing, right? Who are later.
Absolutely.
In the draft. So what happens though, like on the day when, you know, for us when we got Jalen Carter, he starts slipping, right? Or Cooper DeJean starts sliding.
That's right.
Who's a guy that you have as one of these premier guys. Now all of a sudden you can trade up and get him at 20 something. So you never know. They have their guys that are slotted. And I think what Howie basically told us is that it's going to be one or the other. Like, either somebody's going to have to fall and they're going to have to go up to go get them, I would bet. Or it sounds like they're not going to be happy with the current guy slotted at 32,
yep.
Right? But a lot of it depends on how the day goes. It's so much like in the moment. And it's really something that Howie, especially from like a transactional thing, and especially recently, like Cooper DeJean slides, they pick him. Jalen Carter starts sliding. He goes and gets him. N'Kobe Dean. They've done a great job of maximizing picks at certain spots where it's like, this guy should not be available here. And they've reached and went and got that guy.
Yeah.
And I think that it's a great way to go about the draft of like, how do we maximize a pick and get plus value at a spot? And they've done a great job in recent years of that.
So, Jason, how about this one? We had a poll yesterday. Because obviously the team, you know, should be on the doorstep of another major season of contention, hopefully a Super Bowl. That, you know, we'll see. But we had a poll yesterday. Would you just trade the first-round pick for two ready-made stars? One, T.J. Watt, who maybe Pittsburgh's going to move on from, and the other, Trey Hendrickson, who the Bengals, you know, there's talk with both of them they could get traded. And our poll results, people were pretty split. John's in, but a lot of people are voting no.
We get both of them?
No, you get one.
Okay. Sign me up.
So yeah.
But
Jason, here's the thing.
They're like first round pick.
But they're 30. I mean,
and they want to get paid.
And they want to get paid. So take a guy like T.J. Watt, 30 years old. You have to get huge money, and you probably only get him for another 3 or 4 years of excellence. Maybe not even that.
Yeah, but it's also a 32nd pick.
It is.
Like, the fact that you're going to get basically a second-round pick for a premier defensive player of the year, I think the issue with this hypothetical is I have no idea what the money aspect of T.J. Watt would mean to the salary cap and all of the planning that the Eagles put into it. But
this season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
From a purely player standpoint, I mean, T.J. Watt would be an insanely better player than we're likely going to get with a 32nd.
That's what the A.J. Brown. That's what the A.J. Brown was 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Yeah. I mean, it was here's
you,
a first
you get
round
a known
pick.
Commodity.
Yeah.
And like, listen, if you have a top 15 pick again, like when you're picking top 15 in the draft, you're expecting to get a future All Pro player. Like, that's what it should be. You're going to get a difference maker and a guy that's going to be a guy that's going to be a cornerstone of your organization.
Yep.
The later you get in that first round, it's not that precise. And the idea that they're going to be able to trade and get that kind of value at that pick of like a T.J. Watt is probably unlikely. So, I mean, I would love to take that, not having to worry about the monetary issues of it. And then also just like our defense. I mean, obviously, you know, we've lost a lot of guys up front over the past couple years. They were so good at the end of the year. Jalen Carter's there. Thinking of a defensive line with T.J. Watt, Jalen Carter on it together. I mean, yeah, that would be pretty fun to watch.
No question. All right, coming up in a minute, more here with Jason on the draft, and also a WIP question for Jason coming up here in 1 minute.
You know you want lawn care service that provides better results and is safer for your family and pets. That's why I choose Natural Lawn of America. That's my lawn care company. At Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and pets. And by using organic fertilizers for safer weed and insect controls, they make sure your lawn thrives naturally season after season. With Natural Lawn, I know that my family's getting a beautiful lawn that we can all love. Switch to Natural Lawn safer services and start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn you can be proud of. And schedule Natural Lawn's full service program today. Get free seeding every year. This has helped my yards so much. If you want a greener, healthier lawn, plus free seeding, call Natural Lawn at 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Choose my lawn care company, the locally owned and family-operated Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
All right, show to Cameron, John Ritchie. We got Devin. We got Seltzer. Rhea's off today and for about a week, and we got Jason here in studio with us. So I was going to do this one WIP question, but James, you got to me. There's something you want to play your audio right now, is this?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, why not?
Because...
Well, side by side, you're the one who recommended it.
Well, the Monica Seles thing, you're saying it...
It doesn't really match super well, no.
So what should we...
is what I'm saying.
What should we play first? Monica Seles first?
Why don't we play you first?
Okay.
Let's see if we can tell. Let's see if we can tell.
Yeah, good question. Yeah, good point. I'm not going to say. Who is this? Here's our first contender. Okay, so that's
Monica for sure.
Yes, I think that sounds like Monica.
Yeah. Darn.
Here we go with our second one. Who could this be?
I mean, dude.
Put me to shame.
That's what I want to hear out of the Phillies.
Could you imagine a pitcher just like... That's not even a. That's a scream.
It was.
It's like Scott Francis. Like, and the 3-2 pick. And the 3-2 pitch.
Yeah. I don't remember it being that. That was outrageous.
Wow.
Violent.
I mean, I knew it. Yeah, that's crazy, man. That is wild. All right. Speaking of violence, so we had a violent Twitter poll thing last week. So, John, you weren't here for this. We snuck this in when you were on vacation. Hmm. Now, listen, we may have done you dirty because we didn't have you in this poll, and you probably should have been. You remember the WIP Morning Show. Yeah. And we had a poll question, which former pro athlete emerges from the ultimate WIP fight? Oh, Seltzer, I blame you for Jason not being in this poll. Small guy like Ruben, he doesn't belong in the
really?
Poll.
Really? You didn't send me the poll to put up? Should I pull up the text that I have with the four names that you told me to put in the poll?
All right, here are the four names. Here are the four names. So we had Ben Davis. We put him in alphabetical order. So the question, who would win the ultimate WIP fight of the former pro athletes? Ben Davis, Hugh Douglas, Ike Reese, John Ritchie.
I'd pay to watch that.
Right? All right, Jason, who would emerge?
Oh, man.
Four of them in a steel cage. One gets to freaking live. Ben,
the
Hugh,
steel cage too?
Ike.
Yeah, the steel cage was a late addition to the conversation here.
Yeah. That is so
and
tough.
And John Ritchie. Ben, Hugh, Ike, and John, who wins?
I mean, Hugh has the weight advantage. He is a big man still.
And if he wrestled, whoever wrestled should win.
Hugh was my vote.
I think it's weight class. If you have some background wrestling or in some type of combat sport.
Have you ever been in, I mean, like, I've been locked down by a wrestler on a couple occasions where it's been so unbelievably frustrating.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do. You lose.
Yeah.
You lose against a wrestler who's, I don't know, half your size.
Yeah.
They own you.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I didn't pick you as my winner, Richie, because that mentality gets you nowhere in a cage fight.
Yeah.
taking a shot.
Wow.
Look at that. That
hurts, Ike is a little bit of a sleeper.
Who?
Ike.
Ike as my winner.
Listen, he is light, but he is super savvy. Mm. And anybody that played special teams, like this is a four-man brawl.
He's
this
light,
isn't one-on-one.
Though. You said he's light.
He's used to having his head. I didn't say he's light, did I?
Or light. I said it. You kind of agreed. Right. You kind of agreed.
You said
Ike, Kelsey took a shot at you.
God damn it, Ike.
He was
so, no, I think
weight-wise.
Ike is smooth. He played special teams, so he used to having his head on a swivel. It's a four-man brawl. Mm-hmm. I could see him kind of sloughing off, you know, being a little sneaky with it and catching Hugh maybe after he takes out Richie. I think.
There you go. It's like playing Risk. The big key with Risk is not to be attacked and then clean up it, you know.
You know, I got fined for chopping Hugh. I got fined $15,000.
You did in practice?
A post and chop. No, this was when I was playing as an Oakland Raider here at the Vet against Hugh Douglas. Yeah. And our left tackle, Barry Sims,
put his hand
was to chop the end man on the line of scrimmage.
It's cut gap pro. Everybody slides and you cut the end of the line. Yeah,
it's spider three protection.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, my job as the – and it was big personnel. So we got a tight end in there, and I'm dotting the I. I'm the tailback. I'm excited about this opportunity to show them what a cut block looks like.
And then they also put in the screen probably off of it that week just to make you excited that you might get the screen pass.
Yeah, that never came to being called in the game, though, unfortunately. No, but I Barry Sims, last second. My only job is to go chop him, get his hands down.
You're not supposed to touch him if you're the offensive lineman.
Barry Sims just barely nicked him with his left hand and did not help me with the fine.
Should have fined him.
Didn't care. Yeah. I asked. I said, Barry, dude, you got it. You got to help me out at least.
Right.
Throw me a few something, or, you know, nope, no
your
dice.
Your only job as a tackle on that play is to literally not touch that guy.
That's a shame to get fined because the other guy.
Almost never a guy even in your onside gap. Like, you're just, and that's why he put his hand out, probably. Mm. He's doing nothing. He wants to help out, but it's like, don't do that.
All right, John, you weren't here last week. Who won the poll? Take a guess.
Hugh wins.
Absolutely. That was my vote. But he only got 38% of the vote. Ike, 32. John, you got 17.
Are you kidding me?
It's outrageous.
And Ben got 13.
Why do I get 17?
Mike doubled you, basically.
I do think it hurt that you weren't here for the poll and couldn't kind of stump for yourself on the air. You know what I mean?
Did you ever wrestle?
Yeah, but I wrestled as a youngster. You know, like, and then I played basketball in high school.
I wrestled in middle school. And then I played.
And hockey. I know that wrestling dominates me.
Yeah.
I wish I were good at wrestling.
What would your style be in the?
Oh, I mean, I think I'd go full out Greco-Roman, like oiled. Are we talking about?
Oiled. We just went directly.
That was not what I was expecting.
Massive chains. Chains to go with the oiled towel.
What is this?
Greco-Roman.
This is not at all what I was expecting. When you asked the style, like in a million years, that was what I was expecting.
John Ritchie, oil it up. My God.
What would your style be?
It's effective. Hard to grab on, you know?
Now I want to know in Ike's and everybody's.
All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day today, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's Armin's people, well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Poll question, who do you blame the most for the Philly struggles this season? Three choices, the players, Dave Dombrowski, Rob Thompson. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. One other random question. So I saw a headline yesterday. $10 for whoever gets this right on the first guess. $10 if you get it. You get one guess. Someone famous in jail got married. Who?
In jail?
I guess the ceremony was in jail. I would assume. All right. Famous person in jail recently got married. You all get one guess.
I don't even know a famous person.
I'm trying to think of a famous. Yeah. Everyone I think of is dead.
Still
P. Diddy.
No, Manson's dead.
P. Diddy, no. Fair answer.
That is a good guess.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Famous person, James, Jason, and John each have one guess left.
I can't.
For $10.
Who's in jail?
So Madoff died, right? I think he died too.
Madoff, I believe, died.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't even think of a person in jail that's famous.
Okay.
Guys,
nothing.
Man, Suge Knight.
Okay, no, good guess. Fair guess. John, you out of bullets?
Yeah.
All right, now we're bringing it down to $1.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you the guy's name, and you're going to tell me who he is, meaning we don't really know of him by his actual real name, all right?
Oh, interesting.
For
okay.
$1, you
okay,
ready?
I like this.
Famous person who's not really known by his actual real name.
Okay.
The guy's, for $1, you get one guess. Who is, he got married, who is Joe Maldonado?
Joe Maldonado.
Uh-huh. Guys, you all know him. You know him by a different name. From 5 years ago.
Joe Maldonado. 5 years. From so Tiger from... King?
Tiger King!
Oh!
Joe Exotic.
No way.
Joe Exotic just got married.
One of the
last
names.
That was a good pull by you, buddy. Wow. Good pull.
Holy cow.
So there's a Mrs. Exotic now.
I'll Venmo you a buck, John.
Thank you. No, don't worry about it. That's, well, good for Joe.
Joe got married.
How does that happen?
I don't
good
know.
Did they know each other before he went to prison?
Know.
Is this like some, I feel like there's
could
some
be a groupie type
Joe,
thing.
Yeah. There's some like tax evasion thing happening.
Yeah. He's moving all his assets.
Of assets is happening. Uh-huh. Like he knows he's going to get this is something deeper here.
Jason, how wild. So you weren't in season. You had all the time in the world, I guess, in March back then. You didn't have kids or anything.
No, it was great.
What did you do the Tiger King thing as it happened?
I mean, how could you not? It was one of the most outrageous things. Yeah. I mean, it was ridiculous.
And then were guys talking about that exclusively in the locker room, like for that entire season?
That was one of the few shows, obviously, like certain shows get in with certain groups and position groups. That was one that was like, everybody's like, are you watching this?
That's so perfect. Because even for the guys on the team, like there is, you got a little bit of a schism, but for that, man, no one had anything else to watch.
Yeah, and there's enough mystery there, too. Like, was he really the worst guy? Like, there's this other woman that potentially killed somebody, and nobody really talks about that. She's good for half of the show.
That's a good point, too.
Then there was the girl that got her arm got bit off.
Oh, yeah.
There was the guy that committed suicide.
She was a trooper.
There was so much going
arm,
on.
The arm girl. The arm girl was cool with it.
She just dealt with it.
She was like, yeah, I love the Tigers. Okay, so, I mean... Your arm is gone.
Right.
It's not. That's
wild.
A special kind of love. I don't have that kind of love.
The thing got burned down, or the footage was lost, but somehow they still had other footage.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Yeah. Oh, that's true, too.
Oh, my God. All right, Jason, final thing. You got a player you think the Eagles might take? I mean, I know we've talked about 25 different dudes. Is there anybody that rises up that you kind of got a feel for? A lot of people say this Walter Nolan guy.
I have no idea. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, there's a few offensive linemen that I like a lot, and I don't want to say it before the draft.
Sure.
I'll be curious to see how they go after it's all over.
Reuben Frank, by the way, has a theory.
What is it?
That it will be O-line.
Yeah.
And that it will be a tackle of the future who's a starting guard this year.
I think if they go offensive line, getting a guard that can play sooner but still play tackle down the line would be unreal. The likelihood of finding a guy that can, I mean, it's hard to find a guy that can play guard and tackle well, that like is going to transition to guard, because you're going to have to find a guy like that early. So is a guy going to want to sit at guard for a couple years? And that becomes complicated.
Yeah. Andre Dillard was not a guard.
He was not. Most tackles aren't. Most tackles are linear cut, and they're very good at tackle. Mm. They aren't going to be good guards. It's a completely different job description. You really need to be more of a mauler and people mover and embrace that. And most tackles that are good enough to pass block on the edge are not that inside.
There's a little bit of diva.
But you can find those guys. I mean, obviously, I mean, you definitely can find it. I think it's always going to depend on what guy is available, and like they're going to go for the most value. If there's a D lineman that all of a sudden they value really, really high, I'm sure they'll get him, a safety. If there is one of these lineman guys that can play guard tackle, or even if it's just strict guard that falls. But I think they're in a position offensive line wise where I think they're pretty happy currently.
Sure.
So it would have to be the right guy if they did make a move like that.
Yep.
Because I think Steen has played enough that I think they feel confident that if he is the starter this year, that he'll do a good job.
Man.
And then there's four other all pros around him, right?
Do you get the feeling with Steen that they actually are confident? Because I don't feel that way at all.
I think that they are confident he will go in there and get the job done and not be a liability. I think that there's – he just like any player who hasn't played a lot, they don't know to what degree the consistency is going to be of him. He has great foot quickness, a lot of really positive traits, but at other times he just hasn't been as consistent. And I think that there's thoughts in their minds that he can achieve that. I really believe that, and that he can be a great player, and they believe in him. But they're also going to hedge their bets and bring other resources and talent. They re-signed Matt Pryor, who I think has played a lot of guard and tackle at a very good level in the league for us and elsewhere. They traded for Kenyon Green, who with a lot of upside if it pans out, has not panned out to this point in the kid's career or the guy's career. But anyways, I think it's all going to depend on, I think that they feel confident with this group going into the season. If there is somebody there, they'll take it. If there's and if that guy's a D lineman, a safety, or O line, or kind of feels like the three positions that they are kind of most after, it'll just depend on who's there.
Jason, stay well, man. It's always great having you in here. Congrats again on baby number four.
Thank you.
It's a great thing, and enjoy the draft tomorrow night. All right, back to the phone calls. We get to that next. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday morning on 94 WIP.